ape, leave your land, go from your land to the place, your birthplace, house of your father's home, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name famous, and you shall be a source of blessing. To those that bless you, 117, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth, according to Rashi, will hold you up as an example. Number one, this is considered to be a test for Abraham. In fact, it's the first test for Abraham. Hashem tested Abraham 10 times, and this is his first test. It's very difficult to understand what kind of test this is. Someone tells you, move, I'm going to make you rich, your family, famous. You jump. Where to is your only question. You know, very often people move, give up tremendous good livelihoods because they don't have children. They hear over there there's a doctor who can, fertility doctor. People will move on the drop of a dime to give up a tremendous professional position to have children. Abraham is being promised children. He has no children, being promised children too. It's not a test. And he's not giving up a parnasa. He's being promised a great wealth over there and great fame. What kind of test is this? To put it in context, it's even a much greater problem, because there, Abraham, the end of last week's parsha, the rabbis tell us, the way they translate the sentences, that Abraham actually was threatened with death by Hammurabi. He said, you either deny the existence of God or I'll throw you into a furnace. I'll throw you into a furnace. And Abraham said, throw me into a furnace. Which means he'd already be willing to give up his life for God. If that's true, then what kind of test is this? It's not a test. It's not, and not only that, that test doesn't even count. In the 10 tests, that's not even a test. I mean, all of us would think that is an enormous, enormous test. Right? An enormous test. And over here, it's a minor test. If someone would have been ourselves administering the test, we would have started move for good reasons. And finally, maybe by the last test, we would have said, you know what? Give up your life. He already did that to begin with. And that does not count even in the list of the 10 tests. It's very, very difficult to understand. What is this great test? Even more difficult, the language here is lech lecha, go for your benefit. So the rabbis say, if you turn to page 230, it was after these words, Hashem tests Abraham, and he says to him, you're here, I'm here, and he says, sentence 2 and 230, take your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac, v'lech lecha el eretz ha-moriah, page 231, and go to the land of the Moriah. Lech lecha. So the rabbis say the word lech lecha appears in both. Here the Torah says go, and over there the exact same words, lech lecha. See that on 231? Go. Which is a greater test? The Medrash wants to know what is a greater test. This Medrash is in chapter 55 in the Rabbah. Which is a greater test? Does that make sense? Can anybody sit here and for a minute, you have two tests. Move, leave your parents, this, besides all those great promises you're getting, that's one test. The other test is, I want you to bring your son as a sacrifice, which is a greater test. I mean, it's not an issue. The rabbis equate the test of lech lecha. They don't even know what's greater, the akedah or lech lecha. Makes literally no sense here. Literally, it just doesn't make sense. I guess on some days it's not much of a question. You know, they decide not to marry the person we want them to marry, or but what is really this test of lech lecha? And one last question. Let's go back to 116 again. Make you into a great nation. I will make you wealthy. I will make you famous. You'll be a source of blessing. Page 117. I will bless those that bless you. And I will curse the one who curses you. And the way Rashi reads the rest of the sentence is, and I will, you will be held up as an example of who to be like by all the families of the earth. Which means Abraham is the example of what? This is the way to be. You tell your child, take a look at Rashi on 118:3. A man says to his son, be like Abraham. So who's going to tell that to, who's going to tell that to their children? Everybody. Cole, everybody's going to say that. Child, I want you to be like Abraham. That's quite a great accomplishment. You're held up as a role model for decency, perfection, character, whatever it is. So explain, pray tell, go back to the beginning of the sentence. I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse the one who curses you. He has people that curse him too. Right? We just got finished saying someone curses Abraham. Someone cursed Abraham, God will curse. The next phrase is everybody holds him up for a role model. How do you reconcile that? Here it says, I'll curse the one that curses you. And the next words that everybody holds you up for a role model. Those two things don't coalesce. On one hand, everybody says, got to be like Abraham, and yet there's people that are cursing him. Doesn't make any sense. Those are the three questions I'd like to deal with. I think this is probably one of the most important principles of the entire Torah. Let's go through the first sentence again. And God said to Abraham, go, lech lecha, Rashi, go for your pleasure and for your benefit. Go for your pleasure and benefit. You go to sentence two. And so what are those two, what is that extra word telling you? It's not just you're supposed to go. This going, this move, you will get pleasure and benefit from, correct? What does sentence two say? All the tremendous benefits. Great nation, wealth, fame. Why did God have to say in sentence one, go for your pleasure and for your benefit? Let God just say, go for your, go. You read sentence two. What does sentence two say? Fame, power, money. You think Abraham will be smart enough to figure out that this is in his interest? You think he'll be smart enough to figure that out? God says go. Sentence two, he gives him a litany of rewards that a person can't even imagine. Wealth, fame, great nation. So what do you have to tell him for your benefit? He said, I want you to go, Abraham. And sentence two gives him all the wonderful, wonderful rewards. I'd like to say here a fascinating thing. Sentence one and sentence two are two totally different messages. It's not lech lecha, it's not for your pleasure and for your benefit, sentence two. It's not because of sentence two. Sentence one is for your pleasure and benefit. What does sentence one say? Leave your land, your father's house, where you were born. This makes no sense. That's painful. That's painful. No. The message that God is testing Abraham is, and this is an enormous, enormous change in a person. We'll see to what degree is. I want you to do something for me. I want you to give up your relationship with your family, your culture, your nation. I want you to give that up. And I want you to take pleasure in that. How does a person take pleasure in giving up? Because there's a greater pleasure in giving than in taking. The whole test of Abraham here is that God wants to change the mindset of a human being from not being a taker, which we all are, but rather to be a giver. I don't say we don't give at all, but most of us give in order to take. You give some money to the shul. I mean, there are people that are just takers, but that's like already, it's anybody with any decency doesn't want to be a chazer. So a person, okay, you know what, I'm already a big giver, I'll pay my dues, you know what, I'll give another $1,000 to the Kol Nidre appeal. That's still giving to take, because what you benefit from the shul is a lot more than the $1,000 it cost you. $1,000 you can splurge on a weekend down in the Keys, or $1,000 doesn't mean anything. And the benefit you get, you have a place for your children to daven, you have a place for your own davening, you have a yard site, you have just the interaction with the people. Yeah, most of the people give, but giving is usually just in order to get. What God wants to teach Abraham is, and it's the basis of the whole thought of being Jewish, that real change of being going from being a son of Noah to belonging to Abraham, which means the transformation to Jew, is that my sense of self is not in taking, it's in giving. There's a pleasure in giving. I'm asking you, I need this. I understand you're giving up your relationship with your father. I understand you're giving up. I'm asking you to do that for me. I want you to have the pleasure of giving. The pleasure of giving up something. The test of Abraham is that when God asked him to give up something, he should understand, or he should feel, this is pleasurable. That's an enormous test. It's an unbelievable test. The test is giving a pleasure, or is giving something you're asking me? Now listen, you own me, you're my boss, I'm frightened. I make sacrifices. Very few of us really get the pleasure of giving. Most of us, first of all, a lot of us don't give. And to the extent that we give, it's with a little reluctance. And to the extent that we aren't reluctant is because we recognize the rewards of receiving back always, in almost any relation, outweigh what you give. What Abraham is being told here is, I want you to give up this and give up that and give up. And what's the test? That should be a pleasurable act. The act of giving up, you should get pleasure from giving up. You're losing, you're giving up, you're losing. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to derive pleasure from giving. It is very hard for a person to derive pleasure from giving unless he changes his whole mindset. And then when you think about it, it's such a profound difference. If we derive pleasure from being receivers, which most of us do, selfish people, means that you're always at the whim of other people. Your life is not in your control. Your happiness is not in your control. Because I need you to give me something, whether it's recognition or money or friendship, in order to feel good about myself. Because how do I measure myself? Do people give me? Do they like me? That means doesn't depend on me. My happiness depends on you. When it's the pleasure, when I validate myself and I get pleasure from giving, that I control my own happiness. Total control of my happiness. I don't need a gift from you. I don't need a good word from you. I don't need a favor from you. The fact that I give is what gives me pleasure. This is such a rare thing. I mean, it's such a rare thing. Most people are so reluctant. You know, I'll give you a very simple example. A person will give money to an organization because someone says, you know what, I'm going to match all the gifts tonight. Guy goes, guy goes out and writes a check for $50,000. Then he finds out the other guy wasn't really serious about it. It was just a way of getting me to give. He's furious. I'm not giving this damn organization. Listen, you could afford the money. It was good. But he only gave because whatever it was, an opportunity to get the other guy to give 50. You know, it's usually he gave because he wanted the other guy to give. If he would get pleasure from doing of being a giver, okay. So I get it is okay. He's a bad guy. You know what? If he hadn't said I'm matching gifts, then probably would have been. I wouldn't have realized that I can afford to give $50,000. But I know, you know, now that I really thought about it, and I know I can afford it, I should feel pleasure. very few people get any, and not only that, very few people go to a shul, and they look at the guy next to him. He ain't giving any money. Why should I give $1,000 to the shul? He's only giving his to this. Why should I? What do you mean, why should you give? That's even where giving is to get. If I see somebody else is not sharing in the responsibility, I decide I'm not giving either. That's how selfish we are, instead of getting pleasure from giving. The ultimate pleasure in life should be giving. And that's the only way that a person really has his own sense of well-being and happiness under his own control. Anytime you're a taker, and that's what makes you feel good, then I'm always in a dependent relationship. When you're a giver, you're not in a dependent relationship, whether it's with a husband, spouses, everything. Every relationship has to be giver. That is almost the hardest thing. The transformation of taker to giver is an enormously hard thing. What God is telling Abraham, which is really the message of the Jewish people, is we have to be givers. We have a long way to go. It is the hardest test to go from taker to giver. The fact that Abraham is willing, listen, he's not going to say there's no God. You want to kill me? Okay, kill me. Did he get pleasure from the fact that he was giving up his life? We don't know. What God is saying here, this got to be pleasurable. It's not just I want you to give. You got to get pleasure from giving. That has to be your definition of pleasure. That has to be what gives you a feeling of well-being. Work costume happens, I don't care if you gave your life. It means nothing to me, God says. Nothing. Jew means I take pleasure from giving. We don't have any indication Abraham got any pleasure. It was the right thing. Okay, he did the right thing. He gave up his life. That's not enough. It's not that I'm willing to sacrifice. In fact, most of us understand he made a supreme sacrifice, Abraham. As soon as you're talking about sacrifice, that's not being Jewish. The definition of being Jew is pleasure from giving. That's the way I define myself. It's an enormous change of life to go to the feeling of pleasure. To be a giver is what my sense of pleasure is. I say very few people are givers. Even to the ones that are givers, usually giver means because I give because I'm smart enough to know that I'll get more back from giving. But that there's pleasure in giving when there's nothing back. And there's pleasure in the giving itself when I'm being made a fool of because nobody else is giving, but I'm doing giving, and that's what makes me feel good, then it doesn't make a difference what anybody else does. That's the definition of a Jew. A Jew has to be a giver. That's what it means to be a descendant of Avraham Avinu, being a giving person. Not that I'm willing to give. I get my pleasure. I validate. This is my pleasure in life. God was saying, it's not that he wanted him to leave his father's house. I want you to give up these things, and it should be pleasurable in giving up. In fact, if you read the sentence, it actually says it in a number of places. Go for your pleasure and benefit from your land, from where you were born, and from the house of your father. Why didn't you say the place to Abraham? Abraham knows where he was born. Abraham knows the country. He knows where his father lived. Why don't you live? Please leave Ur Kasdim. Why didn't the sentence say, God says to Abraham, go from Ur Kasdim? Abraham knows he was born there. Abraham knows that's where he grew up. That's where his father lives. He knows that. Why did the Torah have to say three words? From the land, your birthplace, your father's house. I'm just saying the city. I was born in Philadelphia. God says, leave Philadelphia. I know exactly all these three things. Just say the city. What the Torah is telling us is, it's not that I want you to go from one place for another. I want you to give up your relationship. It's your land, your house, your father's house. I want you to give that up. It's not that I want you to move out of Philadelphia. I want you to give up your relationship with your country, your culture, your father. I want you to give that up. And you know what? I want that to be pleasurable to you. I want you to understand the giving up. If somebody needs something and you're giving up, that is for you pleasure to do. Somebody needs money and you get pleasure from giving. Not to figure out what's the least I can give without looking like a scoundrel. What's the most I can afford to give because that's what I really get my pleasure from. Favor. What's the most time I can give a person? Not what's the least I can do so I don't look bad. Take a look now at sentence 5. And Abraham took his wife Sarah, and Lot, his nephew, and all their property that they had amassed, and ha-nefesh asher asu b'choran, and the souls they made in Choran. The souls they made. The people they made. Abraham was making clones. This was the first human clone. The people he made. He cloned people, Abraham. This is, you know, I think cloning is modern. This is cloning. That's what it says. He says he made people. If you take a look at Unculus over here, which is actually just from the Talmud, in the bottom line of the Unculus, of the Aramaic, Nafshasona deshabidula raisa, the people that he committed to the Torah. What does it mean to make a person? It means to commit a person to Torah. The Talmud says a fascinating thing here. The Talmud says the first 2,000 years the world was totally empty. Void. The world was a void. It's not till Abraham got people to commit themselves to Torah, to commit themselves to the Noahide, to commit themselves to observe the Noahide laws, that the world is no longer void. What does that mean? What does that mean, the world is void? It seems like this. When a person goes and makes a commitment, he's made. Do you hear what the Torah is telling us? It's not just that Abraham got people to give their word, to commit themselves. A person who goes from a person that doesn't give his word, that is not able to be a giver, to a person who can make a commitment, that's like being reborn. You know how you make a... Making a person means before he wasn't a person. And now he's a person. Why did I become a... I was a person before. Now I'm an observant person. Now I'm observing laws of morality. That's being made. I have a lifestyle. Why is that being made? What created me? Abraham created... He didn't create people. He got people to observe Noahide laws. Why? Where's the... Where's the Torah says he created people. He made human beings. He didn't make human beings. He got people to begin to be observant. The answer is when you become a giver, when you're able to make a commitment, and you're able to make a commitment to a person who can't make commitments, to become a commitment is a metamorphosis in a person. To go from taker to giver is a total metamorphosis. You are now a human being. It's unbelievable. The Torah is telling us that before people made a commitment, and now they make commitments, because that was Abraham was the agent of that, to precipitate that. But what was the effect on the people? They were made. You become a human being. Now, the Torah is telling us that when a taker, a selfish person, is not really a person. The difference between almost, doesn't say you go from animal to man, but the real idea of what a human being is, you make a person, you become a made, you know, in the mafia you become a made man when you kill somebody. You know, you're a made man. By the Torah saying, you know how you become a made man? You become a giver. You make a commitment, that you become a made person. Until you make commitments, until you give your word to somebody, until you can give a commitment, until you, instead of being a taker, but you can actually give something, give your word, you're not a made human being. That's a very, very strong statement of the change that a person undergoes from being taker to giver. If that's not a small... It's unbelievable. You're now a person. You were not a person before. If I'm able to get to turn you around, or you're able to turn me around from being a taker to a giver, you made me a human being. I'm now a person. I'm now a person. I'm a made person. That's a very... and it's rare. We go through life being takers. Being takers lacking the stature of humanity. Okay, so we're saying again, to answer our questions were that, yeah, Abraham was tested. He gave up an enormous amount before. But we never saw that Abraham derived pleasure from giving. If your sense of pleasure, put it like this, if your narcissist behavior is in giving, if that's the way you really get pleasure, and that's what you're drawn by, then you are in the Abraham covenant. Because that's what God wants, that Abraham should validate himself, get pleasure in life from being a giver. That's what Abraham should do. Anything he did till now means nothing, because he's a taker. And therefore God is telling him in sentence one, everything you're giving up should be pleasurable to you, because there's an enormous pleasure in giving. And that's almost the hardest test in the world. And then Torah tells us another thing, that if you do that, you're a made human being. Because anybody who goes from taker to giver is a made person. Which then by way explains why the first 2,000 years the world was empty. There were no human beings in the world. The first 2,000, it was, you know, not enough to be a substantial amount. The Talmud says the first 2,000 years the world was desolate. Till this, what do you mean? You know, it's a world without human beings. They look like human beings. They have brains. They have free choice. They walk on 2 feet. But they're not human beings because they don't derive pleasure from giving. This is where people became human beings. The world is empty until now. I was thinking maybe now we have a fascinating answer to my other question. Torah said, interesting thing, Torah says, everybody's going to hold you up as an example, Abraham, right? And then, and two words before the Torah say, some people curse you. How could it be? People curse you, and then everybody holds you up for the person who curses you doesn't hold you up as an example. We should be like Abraham. Let's take a look at the sentence again. First two words on 118, Umekalelcha O'or. He who curses you, I will curse. It means Abraham has people to curse him. The Nivrechu Becho Kol Mishpecho Sadoma, all the families, the nations of the world will, families of the world will hold up for an example, be like Abraham. An unbelievable thing. You know, a person can feel and get away with being a taker. And he can be happy. If you're successful, made enough money, shafted enough people, he was a taker. He was successful. He'd be a successful taker. Here's a guy now going out and promulgating. No, you got to be a giver. I cursed on the guy. It's really what Abraham is saying. I'm no good. I'm going to curse him. Right? He's espousing this philosophy of you got to be a giver, and I'm a taker, and I'm a successful guy. I spit on Abraham. Very possible. What about the Nivrechu Bechol Kol Mishpachos Adama? But what about if there's a sense of family? Or some translate the word families of the earth, which means nations, or actually families. Can a family be built? Can a nation be built on takers? Anybody as an individual can be a taker, but there is no such thing as a nation of takers. A nation of takers is not a nation. That's an entity that will self-destruct. That's an entity that everybody is in opposition to each other. Even in a family, there's no such thing as a family of takers. A family of takers is not a family. It doesn't have the strength of a family. A family are people that are committed and devoted to giving to each other, to their blood relatives at least. There's no such thing as a family of takers. A family of takers, you know what happens? Parent dies and there's jewelry and all of a sudden the brothers and sisters don't talk to each other anymore. They left over some antique silver. There's wars. You have families of takers. They ain't families. A family entity is built on the idea we have to give to each other. You know, it's a small idea. We give to our blood relatives. There's no such thing as a family of takers. As an individual, I'll curse Abraham. I mean, I'm a taker and I'm happy. You know? But when you're talking about a family, there's no such thing. Anybody who understands that you want a family, that there has to be a unit of family or a unit of nation, there's no such thing. If it's takers, that doesn't exist. That's not a family. There's people that are related, blood related, who don't talk to each other, who are selfish with each other, who abuse each other. That's not a family. In fact, the Hebrew word for family, mishpacha, the root of that word is shifcha. to serve each other. Shifcha means a maidservant. It's a group of people that are there to serve each other. That's the definition of a family. So as much as a person can be obstinate and says, you know what, I'm happy that I'm a taker, and I'm a successful taker, and I know how to shaft everybody, and I give nothing, and I take, and I use all the services that everybody provides. I don't pay my income taxes, I avoid, and I know how to not, I belong to organizations, and I don't pay my dues, and I benefit from everything. Abraham said, you've got to be a giver. Heck with Abraham, he's crazy. That could be. But if that person wants a family, a sense of people being close to each other, he wants a nation, he's praising Abraham as the example. There's no such thing as a family of takers. There's no such thing as a nation of takers. You know, in the words of that immortal, wise person, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do. There's no such thing as a country that's not based on people giving, being committed to each other. There's no such thing as a family. And if a family doesn't have commitment to each other, it's not a family. I say, that'll come out clear. The first time there's an extra piece of silver, boom! Brothers and sisters stop talking to each other after 35 years or 40 or 50 years. They don't go to each other's simchas. They're angry over some stinking piece of silver because they were always takers. There's no such thing as a family that's not based on givers. So every family in the world will praise Abraham. Individual could... crazy enough to think that being a taker is okay. But if he wants a family, he wants a nation, he knows he has to be a giver. So I think with this, now we begin understanding the question of the Akedah in a very fascinating way. This parasha ends, this whole reading of the Torah ends with circumcision. Very interesting thing, circumcision. The Rambam tells us the reason the Jews have circumcision, that's why it's a covenant with God, but why do you take this particular form of making the covenant? So Maimonides writes in his Guide for the Perplexed is because it's known, saying medically, this is known that if a person, if the foreskin is cut off, there's less sexual pleasure. Very strange reason that Jews are all of a sudden... we're not against pleasure. The Torah opens up. But what the Torah is telling you is, it doesn't mean there's no pleasure. It means it's to reduce the pleasure, which is to reduce the sense of narcissism, that it's not about my pleasure, it's about giving pleasure. I get a little less sexual pleasure, and my wife gets more, and therefore, I have not focused on totally self-absorbed narcissism, but in order to learn how to be a giver. That's, I'm just giving the insight to Maimonides, that to go from, to do something that makes us a little less narcissist. So the whole parsha in the Torah, from Lech Lecha to the end of the parsha, is all the same thing. After Abraham begins getting pleasure from being a giver, God says, you know what? I'm going to, in your body, give you a constant reminder that there's pleasure in giving. Because there'll be a sense to you that there will be less personal pleasure, and the pleasure will be the sense of giving too. But we're not against pleasure, but we are against narcissism. Narcissism is taken. Narcissism is using my wife for my benefit. That's taken. The Rambam says it's not supposed to be taking, it's supposed to be giving. And that's what Hashem taught us. That's what the circumcision is. The definition of a Jew is one who gets pleasure from giving, not one whose core existence is deriving pleasure from taking. So now we understand the question in the Medrash. What is greater, this or the Akedah? Kind of ridiculous issue. Here he's giving up his son. Here he's moving. The answer is to go from a giver, from a taker to a giver, is such a metamorphosis in a person that it's almost impossible to do. to go from a giver to giving more, that's only that's a change in quantity. To go from giver to taker is a change of kind. That's already a change in quality. That's a change of my whole essence. Instead of being a taker, I'm a giver. It's very hard to do that. He's going with the pleasure of giving up, as opposed to before that he was a taker. Now it's a question: how much are you willing to give up? How much giving will give you pleasure? Giving your son, is that pleasurable also? Okay, that's a tremendous test. But he's already a giver. That's only a question of how much giver. Over here, it was the change from taker to giver. Another thing that could probably be added is, after circumcision, that is now a mark on his body to internalize that I'm not supposed to be Narcissus, so then maybe it's a little bit easier to give a giver also, to become to give even my son. Therefore, the Akedah was what, after he was circumcised. And therefore, he was already not only mindset of giver, he was already in his body, there was a sign of giver. Maybe the Akedah is not quite as great as Lech Lecha. This is the greatness of Lech Lecha. Our question was ridiculous. Our question was, anybody would move for that. Yeah, anybody would move. But the whole idea here was not to move for the benefit, it was that the giving up your place of birth, giving up your relationship with your father, giving up relation with your culture, that itself has to be for your benefit. That you take pleasure in the fact that someone needs that, somebody wants that from you, and you're giving up because you didn't just say leave. I want you to understand, I understand it's yours, I understand it's your house, and I understand it's your father, and I understand it's your country. I want you to give that up and take pleasure in giving that up. Because if I want it, if I need something from you, I want you to get pleasure from being able to give. This is the definition of being a Jew. Bottom line, this is the definition of Jew. And to the extent that we need to constantly grow in this means we're working on becoming a Jew. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world. That's supposed to be the difference between us and the rest of the world. We have to learn how to take pleasure. We got a long ways to go. But at least we had a father that taught us that. Father inculcated this from generations to generations. I mean, we still see some vestiges. You'll ask the CPAs who have Jewish clients and non-Jewish clients. For the most part, the difference of what they give in charity is enormous. It's nowhere near what we should give, but it's totally much more than anybody else gives. It means that we haven't totally lost that, but we have to go much beyond that to realize it's not giving to get, it's the pleasure in the giving itself. If we do that, then we have fulfilled Lech Lecha, and then we are the genuine heirs of the legacy of Avraham. Great Shabbos.